Thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you for this time to gather. Lord, on the evening of Easter, the first Easter, when your disciples gathered together, not knowing what had happened that day, quite understanding it yet, you came among them, showed them your hands and your side, and said, "Peace be unto you." Dear Lord, we ask tonight that among the many things that you do through the power of your Holy Spirit during this worship, that you communicate peace, your peace, which we cannot fabricate or make or manufacture. Only you can provide this kind of peace, Lord. Send that peace to each one here and to all those unable to be with us. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, in our gospel tonight, in Matthew 22, verse 11, there's a man that shows up at the wedding without the proper wedding clothes. Apparently, back then, that was something that happened. When you arrived at the wedding, you were given some sort of garment or clothes that indicated you were a part of the wedding party and invited. And he didn't wear his wedding suit. You know, as Christians, one of the first things that people see that don't know Christ is the peace of Christ and the peace that he gives us. And they can see that in us. And it isn't our doing, of course. It is the Holy Spirit. It is a gift of Christ because we know him. He is our Lord, and we've confessed him and invited him into our hearts. And that has an effect that people can see. You know, when things happen in our lives that other people would bring them to their knees, they are able to see a peace that allows people to get through those things. And that's only the grace and love and support of God who sustains us. You know, there's times when we come to our knees too, and that's okay. You know, David poured out his heart to the Lord in the Psalms. It's okay to be broken. That's why Christ came. But over time, he gives us and provides us that peace because he came for the brokenhearted. Well, peace is kind of like clothes that we wear then, if other people see. It's kind of like this wedding suit. In today's gospel, people can recognize that and say, "Oh, that's somebody who follows Christ." Or they're intrigued enough to ask, "How do you have that? Why do you have that?" And that's an invitation to share the story. But if you're like me, there's a lot of times in which you don't feel that peace, in which your lives have been rocked by whatever it is. Or, you know, sadly for me to confess, oftentimes, little things that shouldn't bother me have derailed my peace and set me off on a completely different tangent that I don't want to have or should have. Let's go to our scripture tonight, our second reading from Philippians 4 and verse 7 and 9. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want to pick out a couple things that Paul says here that clued me in to what to preach today. In verse 7, and it says, "And the peace of God." I won't read any more for now. We'll be back to that verse. And then also in verse 9, "And the God of peace will be with you." So I think there's something about what Paul is saying tonight in this second reading that has a lot to do with peace. And again, if you're like me, it can be elusive. And so what are some of the threads that if we weave together might help us be clothed in peace? To be wearing the right garment of peace, the right suit, so that when others see us, they can see Christ's peace reflected in us. You know, the first thing that Paul lifts up is something that you guys, as many of you lifelong Christians, know very well. And you probably get tired of me saying it because it comes up so much in so many of the passages. And that's because it's so important. And that is this emphasis upon prayer and carving out a time with the Heavenly Father. You know, as Christians, they say that your prayer time, your quiet time, your devotion time is absolutely essential in your following of Christ. And so you guys have heard me, you know, preach that one too so many times. And here Paul comes again tonight to say it in a new and much better way than I can in verse 6 of our second reading. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then, that next verse, and the peace of God. So part of having the peace of God, one of our threads in our garment of peace tonight, is having that prayer time, that quiet time with the Lord. You know, the world is competing for our hearts. Doesn't come out and say that. But every advertisement that we see is competing for our hearts in some way, or minds. And so it's important that we have that time with God so that he can have his say with us, so he can make us more and more his own. Now, I was trying to think of some opposites of peace. And some of the ones that came to mind were boredom, apathy, an unsettled. And you might have some others that come to mind, too, that are opposites of peace. Anxious might be one, right? Paul mentions, do not worry about anything. One way to translate is, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer. And so he leads us back to prayer. And so I think these are all opposites of peace. And so if we sense those in our lives, boredom, apathy, anxiousness, an unsettled feeling, Paul directs us back to prayer. I'm going to spend a greater amount of time on the other two threads tonight. And that's just because we talk so much about prayer and carving out our time with him. And it can never be said enough. If Paul's mentioning that much, so should we. But our second thread tonight comes from Philippians 4:8. And it is, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So our second thread is, and it comes from this verse, is what we dwell on. So our second thread of peace is tied to what we dwell on. When I coached cross country, this was my key verse for my program. And this word excellence that's mentioned there in verse 8 that I read is arete in the Greek. And so arete was, I borrowed John Wooden's pyramid of excellence, if you've ever seen that. And his was much bigger than mine. I only made 6 blocks on mine. But at the top of mine was arete. And so that's what we would always say, if we could build these other blocks like family and risk and memory and zeal, then we can work towards excellence or arete in our races. And one of the things I said that was so powerful about this verse when I shared it with them was that it matters what we dwell on for how we race. And so when you're going into a race, think about your best workouts. Think about your best races in the past. Think about these moments that are praiseworthy, that are good, just like Paul says there. And then that will set you up to run your best race. Because when we dwell on negative things, bad things that have happened, that has the exact opposite effect. It sends us the other way, and oftentimes we don't You know, if it's a race, let's say, oftentimes when those negative thoughts would come in, that's when my runners would have a poor race. And so it was what they dwelled on was directly tied to what they did and to how they performed and competed. I've told this story before, but there was a POW who spent a lot of time in a pit as a prisoner of war. And every day in his mind, he played a round of golf, a full 18 holes. And he went through every stroke and visualized probably his home course or wherever he used to play before his prisoner of war experience. He went through the whole thing in his mind every day. And when he came back, even though he hadn't played or picked up a club all that time, he was still a scratch golfer. And so, again, this what we dwell on is connected to how we perform and what we do in action and in real life. I started watching a show. It was called Vikings Valhalla, and it was one of the top shows on Netflix. And I got a few episodes into that, and I was noticing that when I finished watching those shows that I just didn't have a real strong feeling of peace. It was unsettling for me. And I could feel the Spirit telling me that, you know, that's not something that's making this list on 4:8. Pure, honorable, noble, praiseworthy, excellence. And so I stopped watching that. It's important what we dwell on. And when the Spirit sends that unsettling feeling to you, that can be a good positive unsettling, trying to communicate to you that that's not something that leads to excellence or peace in that way. You know, in a negative example, the Taliban understand this very well. And they often take kids and make them a part of their armies to do their bidding in war. And these are 12-year-olds, 10-year-olds, and things like that. And what they do is they make them watch all kinds of really violent things. And it desensitizes them to the point where they just think that's a natural part of what is happening and what you do. And so, again, in a negative way, we see the power of what we dwell on what that leads to our actions. And so what you watch, what you read, what you think upon, those are related to your peace, Paul says here. And so instead, think about what's pure, good, honorable, excellent, praiseworthy. Think about those things. And the God of peace will be with you. I'm going to read 6 through 8 here because it all kinds of ties into my third thread tonight, or Paul's third thread, I guess you could say. Verse 6, do not worry about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. How about that? Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And so that leads us to our final thread tonight, which comes from verse 9. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. So our third and final thread tonight is to put it into practice. Put these things into practice. That's what Paul is saying. And that could be a lot of things. He says, if you've seen it in me, put it into practice. Well, Paul, you know, is doing all kinds of things for the Lord. So we're going to break down a few of those tonight. And I think one of those is mission. And the other is, that comes to mind tonight, although there's many more, is service. In my devotion that I get, Christianity Today, there's a guy named Reggie McNeil, and he was talking about leadership, and he said, great leaders feel profound gratitude to God for the opportunity to do the mission that He has chosen for them. They practice excellence as a part of a grateful response to Him. And so I thought that was really cool, that the excellence that they bring to their mission, whatever that is a natural response of gratitude for God's graciousness, for His gifts, for this mission that He's given them. And I just thought that was really cool because it tied in a lot of the scriptures we're talking about today. You know, if you want to dwell on something praiseworthy, thank God for all the things He's given you. We've talked about that a lot too. You've heard that from me so much. When you don't have peace, when you don't feel that, go to God with thanksgiving and thank Him for what He has given you. And that always kind of seems to right the ship in terms of how you feel about whatever it is that isn't bringing you peace and is bringing you, off that track and on to something else. And so I really like that connection between mission and excellence and thanksgiving and peace. And then there was another lady, Helen Mitchell, who said that one of the first places that we see, that others see the Lord, as we talked about, is actually at our workplaces. Now, some of you are retired. But when you travel in the community, when you go to the doctor's office, when you go to Walmart, when you go to wherever it is, that is an arena too in which people see you. And I think that counts for what she's mentioning here. But she says the workplace could be the errand place, right? Is one of the first places for evangelism. And she says that based upon Matthew 5:16. Let's go there real quick. It says this: in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And this word deeds, she says, can be translated as a business or employment or anything you do with your hands. And so I thought that was really cool, that this arena is a place where people see the light of Christ shining in you. And so remember, as you go throughout your day, whether it's to work or whether it's on your errands in the community and what have you, that people are looking at what you're clothed in, not your physical clothes, but that peace, your good deeds, other ways that you're responding to problems that encounter. And you know what? If you're like me, that ain't going to happen every day. There's going to be some failures along the way. But Christ has His grace for us. And we're not perfect people. So embrace that grace and ask Him to come and deliver that peace to you and to make you more and more each day the light that He wants to shine in whatever place that you are. So that's kind of like your peace suit. So go back to that image of the wedding suit at the first. We want to wear our peace suits out there for all to see. Here's just a little bit of something God showed me about mission. You know, evangelism is something that is so vital and important to our church right now because our numbers are smaller. It's fantastic to see so many new or different or returners tonight. And doesn't that just give so much hope and joy? And I want to share this with you as a part of what we're talking about in mission tonight, of putting this into practice, this third thread, putting into practice all that Paul does. This is something that the Spirit showed me this week. You know, we had the funeral here for Mary, and that was Carolyn's sister, Fisbeck. And we had that funeral, and Mary's partner was devastated by her death. that was a moment of need for him. And I reached out to him that night, connected with him. I told him how powerful I thought what he shared was. He came up here and spoke, and it was just a really powerful spirit-led testimony of her and her life and faith, and his faith too. And I shared that with him. We exchanged phone numbers. I followed up with him here and there to connect with him, just to invite him to things like this, or you know, to worship. And he says, I want to come. He also works at Lilly, so sometimes he can't get here. But the other day he came to mind again. The Spirit, I feel like the Spirit sent me his, you know, his name came to mind. And so I just sent him a text saying, "Hey, how you doing?" And he said, "Oh, I was just receiving Mary's ashes. And I think it's God's Spirit that you reached out at this time to me." And so with the people that's in your workplace or on your errands or people that you encounter in the week, look for hunger for God in them. Look for needs that they have too. That's the first thing to think about when you think about evangelism, are those two things. It's also what makes evangelism in the United States so hard, because there's less needs sometimes, at least visible ones. Not for everybody. There's still a lot of need. A lot of people need that. But more than other countries, it's not so visible all the time with everyone we encounter. But they still have needs that just can't be seen oftentimes. So look for hunger. Look for needs. Connect with them in some way, even if it's small. And if you can have a way to follow up with them, do that when the Spirit leads you to do it. So follow the Spirit's lead, and then finally, God will provide. I'm confident that at some point, Dan's going to show up here. I believe that. And it's not going to be about me and what I did, but it's about what the Spirit led me to say to him that night, to follow up when he wanted me to, etc., just to be in connection. And evangelism can be that simple sometimes. And it doesn't have to be that hard. Just be a good friend to the folks that you meet, and be in prayer with them and about them and for them. Connect with them. Follow the Spirit's lead, and God will provide. So our three threads tonight for our garment of peace that we're weaving: pray, dwell, and practice. Pray, dwell, and practice. You know, I've said this every week. If you noticed, I've been preaching on Philippians all the last 3 weeks. I'm preaching on that book. And every week I've said that when Paul wrote this, he didn't have a comfy seat at his writing desk, because he was in a prison cell awaiting what would become his execution. He would be beheaded by the Emperor Nero. So as he's writing all these things that we read tonight about dwelling on excellence and taking prayer to God and putting these things into practice, he's coming at it from such a place, a genuine place, that we respect. If he can talk about these things while he's sitting in a prison cell, then we can put these things into practice too, with the power of the Holy Spirit who comes alongside us. So Paul tonight, as he sits in his cell, he's pointing us towards peace. And what a powerful pointing that is from someone who is imprisoned at this moment. Pray, dwell, practice. Amen.